You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Sword Art Online After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Sword Art Online After Show.
Hey there, AfterBuzz fans. We are here to talk about Sword Art Online today, Episode 9, The Blue-Eyed Demon. I'm your host, Megan Salinas, and joining me on the panel here today is Katie Cullen.
Hi, all my buddies.
Liz Rishmawi.
Hey, guys. Welcome. Good to be back.
Thank you.
Yay, yeah, you're okay.
I didn't die this time.
Woohoo. And Tari Miller.
Namin Janil.
Nice. We've also got Stephen Lemieux on the ones and twos. Hi, Stephen.
Hello.
AKA Good Guy, who has the lovely opening playing for us. For those of you listening to the podcast, we actually get to... Well, it's still nice.
I know.
It's still very pretty.
It just makes you sad.
I gotta switch it up a bit, okay?
Yes. And although I for the longest time I thought the opening was a big spoiler for this episode, but it turns out that the opening lies to us a little bit in terms of what happens
right here,
in this episode.
Right here's where it lies. Look at this.
Anyway,
I'm helping.
So how do you guys feel about this episode? Because I mean there was a lot going on in this episode. This kind of an adrenaline rush a little bit in terms of, like, it has been a long time since we've had a boss fight. Mm-hmm. Not since episode 2. So on the one hand, it's really cool to see another boss fight. And, you know, going from floor 1 to floor 74, it's kind of a long time to skip without having any other boss fights.
Yeah.
But overall, how do you guys feel?
Happy. No, I'm excited about it. There was a lot of action. I mean, considering I've watched the other episodes, and I feel like even the Dragon episode a couple of, 2 weeks back, you know, I feel like it's kind of been lacking in adventure for me personally. I don't know, that seems weird. I guess it's because it's been so many weeks since, like, even the whole thing with, the murder mystery and all that. But this was just more fun because we're reminding ourselves again, like, we are in a game. This is a game. This is what you do in a game.
And it was very interesting to see how game mechanics actually came into play this time around.
How do you feel?
Am I in a psychological session? How do you feel?
How does that make you feel, Tari?
Well, actually, because we all know that I'm a big action guy.
How are you?
I am.
My gosh.
But I also was a big fan of all of there were a lot of feels in this episode, like the Klein stuff, the Asana stuff, like, which we'll get into, so I'm not going to go into any details at the moment. But, like, I was super emotionally attached to everyone in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Even I wanted a sandwich.
Especially him.
How about you, Katie? How do you feel?
You know, I really like this episode, and then the last 5 minutes happened. So that's a really, really sour way to go out for me, because I really enjoyed all of the stuff that we see in this episode, except for that.
The last 5 minutes?
Last 5 minutes is enough to ruin it,
unfortunately. Where we get introduced to another character and everything like that.
Yeah. And they talk and say things and...
I agree with you. There were things... I kind of feel about this episode the same way I feel about the last episode. There are parts of it I absolutely adore. And then there are other things that kind of annoy me. And there have been many ominous... comments on YouTube that kind of make me concerned about the progression of this series and how I'm going to feel about it. But for the most part...
From the beginning, we've had fans like, oh, great, you guys are doing it. You're going to love it. Until it gets to the second season.
Like, you think it's bad now? Wait until... We don't think it's bad
now.
We think
it's
great. We're just a little worried.
But these comments are none too reassuring. So,
no.
But in the
meantime,
we're just going to enjoy it. We're just going to enjoy what's supposed to be the heyday of this series. So anyway,
I like to say hey, 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 day.
Hey, 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 day.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've never said it that way
before.
You will now.
I I've been inside all day.
From now on, that's how it's said. Anyway, so let's go ahead and jump right in. So we pick up, this episode picks up right where we left off last week with Asuna and Kirito walking into the boss room with their teleportation crystals at the ready. And at first, they don't see anything. At first, it's kind of dark and scary. And Kirito's about to go in a little bit further when all of a sudden we see the boss pop up. It's this big, giant, what did you call it last week?
A satyr.
It's a satyr with a snake for a tail.
Oh, like, man, I didn't even notice that.
Wait, you totally noticed right. that?
The tail doesn't do anything. I wish that it had come into play, but yeah, it doesn't, and I guess, that makes me sad.
But it just looks scary.
It does.
And the name pops up in big, bold letters. It's the Gleam Eyes, and it roars at them, and they turn tail and run out the door screaming, which is probably one of the funniest things I've seen in the series so far, is to see them both just turn tail and run.
Mm-hmm. I keep expecting it to cut to Monty Python. Run away! Run away!
Run away! But yeah, so they run out of the boss room, and they're sitting down when they know it's safe, and they're just like kind of thinking logically about what it's going to take down a boss like that. They're right. Like, oh, we're going to need to keep switching out, you
we're
know, attack
need to put
teams.
Tanks in the front, and we're going to need shield users, and we're going to need all sorts of stuff.
And that's when Asuna kind of makes an interesting observation. She's like, speaking of shields,
why don't you ever use one?
Yeah, it's very interesting that you use a one-handed sword, but you don't ever use a shield. I don't ever use a shield because it'll slow me down. You know, she's the Lightning Flash, and she has a rapier, so, you know, that relies on speed.
Mm-hmm. Other people don't use shields because they think they look dumb. Which is like, way to get killed, guys. Way to get killed.
But and she's looking at him with this, you know, very scrutinizing look, and he's not looking her in the eye. And finally, she just kind of shrugs it off and goes, I guess it's rude to pry about people and their skill sets and why they don't use certain things.
Right. She also brings back that he's never used the sword that Liz made him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that crappy sword.
Nice, shiny, what the hell? Nice, shiny dragon poop sword, and he never uses it.
Well, I have expected him to, like, look at the camera and be like, because it makes me a badass. Ding!
Like, he was just gonna wink to the camera.
Right, yeah.
And his, you know, he'd smile and it would sparkle or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That.
Well, and
an advertisement for toothpaste of some sort.
The scene was funny to me from, like, especially cause since I had seen it before, like, because it was this whole writing mechanics thing, like, here are all these foreshadowing things, and also, this is how tough the boss is, wink, wink.
Important plot point. Yeah. And then,
you just said important plot point.
Oh, my God.
I'm not going to let
plot.
You...
Point.
There you go.
If I could talk. Thank you for correcting me.
Speaking of which, then
everyone in California and Washington is like,
important plot point. But speaking of important plot points, moving on, she decides to go ahead and pull out lunch.
Since
they're there already. And we find out that she's essentially a genius because she pulls up all these different menus that show exactly how much time and study she has devoted to being able to create this amazing food in Sword Art Online.
Well, it's like you have to wonder, like, what else? I mean, if you think of their day-to-day life, like 24 hours a day, 365 days a year for the last, like, 2 years, there's a lot of time. And instead of just consistently battle,
which is what
upgrade your level, there's got to be some other things to do. It's like, what are these people doing to actually pass the time in the game before you want to, like, just jump off the side of a bridge because it's getting boring? So, I mean, that was kind of cool, though. Like, I like that, too.
Some people get themselves jobs. I guess Asuna got a hobby, and she's become really, really good at it. And I really liked this moment between the two of them because it was a very cutesy, couple-y moment where he was like, you should totally sell these. You'll make a fortune. And she was, you know,
really?
Very flattered. Like, you really think it's that good? And he's like, wait a minute.
No,
you can't sell it. Because then there's none left for me.
Yeah. She's like, really? Really?
But
I'll
it was,
make you some, too.
It was very sweet. And I think this is the one time, like, Kirito's been rude, but it's been endearing to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's adorable.
Like, oh, you're not being a little sociopath.
Aw. You're just adorable. And I like that, you know, it kind of, the series seems to be hinting at more and more that they're going to be together. And I liked seeing this moment because in moments like these, I can definitely see them being together and I can see that working. And I want to see them together. I officially ship it. Yay.
God help you.
But speaking of Klein, since you brought it up earlier, who should come in but Klein and his guild, the Furunkazan Guild? Yes. Which actually, fun side note, according to Wikipedia, that the Furunkazan means wind, forest, fire, and mountain, and it's a reference to the art of war. Hmm. So, you know, fun fact that you'll never actually need to know for anything, but I thought that was interesting.
Klein, I thought of the band just now.
Yeah, I know, right?
Earth, fire, what are they?
Earth, wind, and fire.
Earth, wind, and fire.
Dancing in September. I love that song.
I know you do.
Anyway, so
we're old.
Yeah,
no,
we are.
We're influenced by
that song. Is timeless.
So funny because yes, we just came to that conclusion in the Attack on Titan panel as well.
Good.
We are all old, everyone.
Which is why, and I'm just going to foreshadow a little without getting things away. But speaking on their relationship, there is going to be a part of me in a couple episodes from now when we go more into their relationship, where I'm going to be groaning and rolling my eyes because I am the age that I am, and I'm no longer a 16-year-old watching.
Yeah,
this.
That's the other thing to keep in mind.
You are not allowed to say anything.
Keep in mind,
we're unspoiled.
Yeah. They're teenagers. Let them have their teenage romance. It's okay.
Right.
We were all young once. It was anyway.
Could be Twilight.
Ugh, never
gross. Ever anyway. Say that word in
yeah,
this
seriously.
Room
seriously. Don't bring
again.
That to my
stop
show.
Stop bringing up Twilight, please. Even in hatred. Stop bringing it up. Anyway.
But speaking of the sandwiches.
Yes. Speaking of the sandwiches, we want to talk to you really quick about Maria Menounos' new book, The Evergirl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. If you want to find some good recipes for yourself, the book is filled with them and simple how-tos on really good exercise tips. It's a really great way to help you if you want to change your lifestyle to be a little bit more healthy.
Yeah, or even just to fit it into an already very, very busy lifestyle. So check it out. It's awesome, and it's colorful, and there's pretty pictures.
Lots and lots of pictures, which right. very helpful for readers
yes.
like me. Anyway, so going back, speaking of Klein, we have his guild coming in, and first of all, he's like, Kirito, you're okay. And I can't help but think of the way you put it a couple episodes ago when we were watching the Red-Nosed Reindeer episode, that Klein kind of feels like the other, you know, like he's dealing with the other woman. Because this is the second time that he's caught Kirito in a party with someone else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he happens to notice, he's like, dude, you're with a girl.
I love that you remembered that I said that because I was like in a moment of fuzziness. Just what did I say? I say
jokes
so
about
many
it.
Things in my in every day that I never shut up. And I'm so happy you remembered that.
I remembered it because I thought it was hilarious.
It's true, though. It's so true. It's the same thing in this scenario because he just goes up and they're like, eh? Like, I mean,
and
the,
he's
in the Japanese
like,
version.
Dude,
like that.
You know, I thought you were a solo player up until the point when he sees who Kirito is with.
Yeah.
And then he's frozen.
Yeah.
It was hilarious to see.
Dude, are you lagging?
Yeah.
Bro?
And it was just great because Kirito's like, I thought you guys had talked before because, you know, during boss fight meetings, but let me go ahead and properly introduce you. This is Klein and this is Asuna. And at that point, Klein can't make eye contact with her. He just looks down at the ground, sticks out his hand to shake it, and he's like, Hi, my name is Klein. I'm 24.
I like long walks on the beach.
And before he can, you know, list off, you know, long walks on the beach, Kirito punches him. And I don't even think that Kirito really understood even why he did it. But it was just something because he cares for Asuna that he just kind of did out of instinct.
I feel like
the first time that Kirito has sucker punched Klein when Klein starts going on the girl tangent.
In general, though, in most anime, though, I feel like that's even if it is definitely done because Kirito has feelings for Asuna.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like most anime, as soon as the one dude starts just being stupid gaga over a girl, there's going to be that one character that keeps him in check, regardless if that character likes them or not.
That's also true.
Yeah. So,
like if you ever try to kick your friend underneath the table to be like, shut up.
Oh my God, that happened to me one time, but my friend was trying to kick my other friend.
It happened
so
to me.
So your life is a sitcom.
It happened to me too, only my friend didn't understand why I was kicking her. She was like, why are you doing that? Really, really loud. It was pretty terrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
why Klein's, do you keep winking at me behind the person's back that I'm talking to?
Pretty much. But all of a sudden, Klein's group,
how winking
which
works.
I'm really glad to see that, you know, the characters that are introduced in the first episode as Klein's friends, I'm really glad to see that they're still alive.
Yeah.
I wish there's a part of me that wishes that they would go more into, I don't know, like I feel like Klein's so cool. I hope somewhere in the series that he has like his own episode based on him and his life.
I would love that too.
Because he's so funny.
Honestly, all the side characters that they've introduced, and that's something else I really liked about this episode too, is that even if it's just very briefly, we have a lot of these different characters that have been set up in these one-off episodes. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to see them all in the same episode, even if they only interact with each other very briefly. Mm-hmm. But
and keep in mind that this was a murder game. People are dying, lives on the line, all sorts of fun stuff. Klein came into this game not having a clue.
Klein came
how
to this
to
game
play.
Expecting pizza to be waiting for him outside
when he logged off.
And a ginger ale.
He came into never this game utterly clueless. And odds are that his friends were also utterly clueless. It was soy sauce and mayonnaise, I believe.
Ugh.
And he's still alive. He's still alive. All of his friends are still alive. That's the story I want to be watching.
But take into consideration,
that's the story I want
to
watch.
He had been in guilds before in other games. It was just a matter of getting adjusted to a program that actually puts you into the game.
Yeah, true.
So
yeah.
I mean, they do have that kind of skills and sets. They're not just newbies. They're not noobs. They're actual gamers. You know,
they're not Sachi.
Right.
Aww.
Aww, come on.
They're still alive.
I literally just stopped crying about that.
Start again. Literally? Because you weren't crying this whole time.
Yes,
you
were really
good.
There was a flash of
Sachi
in this episode.
I'm making a note here. Huge success.
Still
oh,
alive.
GLaDOS. Oh, GLaDOS and Portal. Thank you, Steven. Okay, calm down.
We're going to be here for a while, guys.
I muted our mic so we don't have to hear that.
Never get going.
All right.
Anyway,
I'm fine.
So Klein's guild looks like they're jumping to his aid, and it looks like they're going to rush Kirito, when all of a sudden their faces change completely into fanboy mode, and they go, "You're really Asuna?" And Kirito has to hold them back like they're, you know, a set of groupies for her.
It's okay. They're really good guys.
Yeah, and Klein steps on his foot and goes, you know, now we're even. But, dude, like, what if... Like, are you holding out on me because you get to, you know, you've been partnering up with a really pretty girl?
You were just about to say partying.
Because they're in a party
points,
together.
Partying. My God.
I'm all
what
over
is your life like outside this podcast?
It's very boring.
Is not over yet.
It's very boring. I do my homework. Mm-hmm. That's it.
She does.
Anyway.
I can vouch.
Anyway, moving on.
Sorry, just funny. You're like, let's stop it, okay?
Can
don't
we stop
tell them.
Talking about what may or may not be happening in my personal life? So, anyway, moving on. All of a sudden, you know, the kind of merriment ceases when the Einkrad Liberation Army decides to march onto the scene. And their leader, Kobatz, you know, tells everybody to take five, and the troops just collapse. They are exhausted. And we find out through a little bit of exposition that this is a group who, they're the largest guild in the game, but they are not, you know, they focus more on quantity of players as opposed to the quality of players. You know, they think that by having the largest numbers, they're going to be able to clear the game, when that's not necessarily true.
Yeah. Right. They also said that they were the guild that runs the first floor.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
you know, of all the floors to run, that's the one you want to be in charge of.
Well, in the light novel, they are essentially policing all the lower floors, making sure all the crime is kept to a minimum.
Yeah.
So that's kind of their role. And also, the numbers thing is because they were decimated on the 25th floor, so they're just trying to, like, get as many people back into it as they can.
Yeah. They mentioned that, though, didn't they? And, like,
yes,
didn't
they mentioned it, yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, then, because then so I wonder, like, do they have a headquarters? Is this where the damn prison is? Is this where the prison is?
You know what? They're
probably
the ones who run the prison, yeah.
Well, actually, Steven's read the books, and you've read the books. Have they ever mentioned anything about a prison or where that is?
Wait, what?
The prison or something? They're like, we're going to take you to prison. Like,
when they take people like Rosalia off to prison.
Titan's Hand.
Yeah, I mean, right. I don't know. I don't want to spoil anything. I don't know how far you in the show, but yeah, it's on the first floor in the...
Okay.
It's in the catacombs on the first floor.
These people then are the people who are in charge of the police, you know, of policing things and in charge of the prison. That makes sense.
Right.
Okay, we get a little bit more information
about this group. They're basically people who created a subsect on the in their own political system on the first floor, because the show doesn't really go into it too much. They're basically just the people who stayed on the first floor, and then they, like, started policing things on the first floor, and that's kind of their headquarters that they transfer out of. But it's like a guild that is basically a police state guild.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that, because they just sound like they have their own little area, and they're like, we'll be in charge here.
You'll find out more in the next few episodes.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So then they wind up on floor 74 because reasons, question
well,
mark?
Well, because they've already been cleared by the assault team.
Yeah, they even said, like, have you cleared it up ahead?
Yeah, and so because, you know, Kirito and Asuna have essentially cleared this entire area.
You're welcome. And
made it to the boss room, you know, gone through and mapped the whole thing. They're like, okay, great. You have the map to the boss room. You've cleared the way for us. Hand over the map, please.
Yeah.
And,
there
you know,
was no Klein, please about it.
Yeah,
it was, there was no
all right,
please.
Hand over the map.
Kovacs
right.
is a jerk. Well, he's like every drill sergeant stereotype that you hate.
I do have to, like, correct you guys on one thing, though. It's not they're not only there because they cleared the way. They're there because they are front line. They're adept at the front line. They used to be on the front lines because they're geared for it. They just leveled more slowly on safer things. So, like, they take things down as a group as opposed to, like, other people who'd go to the front lines to level.
Regardless, they are not in any shape right now to be taking on a boss because they're so exhausted.
Yeah.
Even if they technically have the levels for it, they don't look like they have the numbers necessary for this boss
in particular. Which is exactly what Kirito and Asuna and all of them were saying. Like, are you kidding me? You're about to take this guy head on? Like, look at your troops. Like, they're exhausted. They look like their death worn over, you know? Won over? Won over?
Warmed worn over. Yeah. Oh my god, I've been saying it wrong this entire time.
It's like I feel a little bit.
And then you reheated it, but it's still dead.
I feel a little bit better about my ward slip.
I thought it was death. Like, well, death won over made sense to me because it's like death won. You are dead. Like, well, you looked like crap.
Death won over would mean that you beat death. Anyway,
no
more semantics, guys.
Moving on. Kirito,
and now you know.
Despite Klein's objections, Kirito goes, hey, I was going to go public with the map. Anyway, here you go. And he gives them the information.
Yeah.
And they turn around to leave. And that's exactly what, you know, people keep saying is, hey, wait, you can't. Please tell me you're not going to take on the boss right now.
Yeah.
And they just completely disregard his warnings. And they charge right ahead. Meanwhile, Klein and Kirito and Asuna, they decide to, you know, keep an eye on them, essentially. And so they tail behind them a little bit. And that's when we get a moment between Klein and Asuna. And Klein's like, look, I know he's a jerk. He's not great with people. He's addicted to combat. He's got some issues.
Yeah.
But deep down, he's a really good guy. Please take care of him for me.
It's like the mother of a son or something like that. Please take care of him for me. I just, there's nothing else I can do.
He won't let me help.
He doesn't love me anymore.
He goes from like the scorned lover to the mother like figure. I love Klein.
Klein's all over the place.
He's over there.
Yeah.
Klein approves of Asuna. That's
Klein
so
is
sweet.
A good person, and people say nice things about him. Or they better. You hear me, fandom?
Yeah, I love Klein. And especially after a moment like this. It's just like, that's why I love him as a character.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they're clearing some more enemies, and, you know, they're killing more lizard men. And they kind of wonder, you know, they lost track of the group. They're like, they probably teleported out okay, right? I mean, they know better. And then sure enough, almost on cue, they start to hear terrified screams. And Asuna and Kirito take off to go and see the source of the horrible screams of agony. And
leaving Klein and his guild behind to deal with the respawning lizard men.
Yes.
Thanks, guys.
And as they make it back to the boss room, they see that these troops are not faring well against
the Gleam Eyes.
Yeah.
They are trapped.
Because the boss is blocking the exit, and their teleportation crystals won't work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we have Kirito flashing back to the Red-Nosed Reindeer episodes and the exact same trap that he and his guild were stuck in.
Once again, because someone didn't listen to reason and ran in. Just saying, it's there's a pattern here.
It's a
Leroy
Jenkins. Damn it, Leroy.
Did he just go in? Just go, go.
Spawning everywhere.
I just don't have my chicken.
That's probably what happened. It was just one guy in there.
That's exactly what happens in this episode.
Oh my God.
This is why Steven needs to, like, I love everyone who works here, but this is why Steven needs to engineer this show.
Yes. Thank you, Steven. Oh, that was wonderful. But yeah, so they see that, you know, the Einkrad Liberation Army, they're getting their butts handed to them, essentially. And that's when we see Kobats get knocked out of the boss room, actually, and we see his armor split. And we have this terrible moment right before he dies where just tears are welling in his eyes. And he's like, I can't believe it. And it shatters.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah. Well, I've heard what he said in the Japanese is something along the lines of, like, I can't believe it.
This is impossible.
Yeah, this is impossible.
Like that. Aww.
Yeah.
But it was, granted, he was an idiot, but like that, it's a little different to say, oh, that guy deserved to die, and it's a little different to be staring him in the face as tears are welling in his eyes,
met with a terrible fate, haven't you?
Well, it humanizes the character a little bit more, because before, you know, their face was shrouded in mystery, there was that shadow over the eyes, as anime characters do, like freaking Ash Ketchum every time he freaking cried.
Anytime he breaks
the hat down. Ash, why didn't you get rid of all the freaking Pokemon?
That's a discussion for another day.
It'll be okay.
It humanizes. I rewatched it recently. And I'm just getting very angry.
It's on Netflix.
Angry.
Yeah.
But anyway, no. But like, it gave the character. You connect with him a little bit. Like, okay, this is a human being. Thus, it's drawn. But I mean, it's you get to feel bad for the guy.
This is somebody who's about to die.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is somebody who cuts onions about as well as I do.
Steven. Not as funny.
But anyway, so Asuna, she sees that these troops are not faring well. It's not going to be long. You know, another one of them is about to get smacked by this giant sword. And that's when Asuna, she can't take it anymore. She just runs in and gets off a couple really good hits on the creature while it has its back turned. Mm-hmm. But it turns around and it smacks her across the room. And it's getting ready to slice her in half when Kirito jumps in and he parries it. I think that's
he parries
it. He parries it,
He parries it. And then Klein comes running in after him.
That he said that. He just shrugs. Ah, oh, what the hell? We're probably going to die, but let's go for it anyway. Yeah.
And then basically we know something's up, and we know this is the whole foreshadowing over lunchtime again, because he's like, I need you guys to distract it for 10 seconds.
Right.
Once he's realizing that his one sword technique is not working, and he takes a pretty solid hit from the boss.
Not even that it wouldn't work or that it's not working, it's just that that's what everybody else is doing.
What he realizes is that with his friends on the line and with all these people on the line, he can't afford to pull his punches anymore.
Yeah.
And so Klein rushes the creature. He gets knocked aside. Asuna takes it on and is fighting it for a minute. And then Kirito yells out, switch! And so she falls back and he comes forward. And what does he do? He pulls out Dark Repulsor, and it's this special dual-wielding skill. And everyone is just blown away, like, what is happening right now? Because he's fighting the creature with two swords.
Faster!
And he's slicing at it.
So many That's What She Said jokes this episode.
I was making Sonic jokes.
Oh.
He's slicing at it, and it's slicing at him and hitting him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, I have to go faster. And he just, you know, their sword thrusts are going faster and faster. I know.
And I'm trying to be good about it, but no, then you have to say that.
He basically
goes into crazy berserker mode and slices
Kirito
the boss
hit
into
his
pieces.
Limit break.
Yeah,
essentially.
Basically.
Kirito hit his limit break.
Kirito
and
hit
he's
his
like, okay. Is it over? And then collapses.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
and so
many hit
I'm still laughing because it reminded me. I think wasn't it during the last boss battle though that they it was like congratulations, just won.
Yeah, and
now,
so yes,
lots
won.
Of congratulations.
They said that this
and
time you got a lot of them.
Points.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, just one. So, congratulations.
Well, because
just
there
one.
Was only
one floor.
One floor. But this one didn't say congratulations 74 times.
Yeah.
But anyway, so So Kirito wakes up, but in a moment, Asuna is calling his name, but he sees Sachi at first, mm-hmm. which is just like,
oh. Kirito almost snap. Walked into
I just
the light
realized
there.
That.
Yeah, yeah. That was Sachi.
Because
yeah.
I was watching
almost stepped into the light.
Because I was watching it, and I'm like, why has she got dark hair? Is it just the shadows? Like, I didn't get...
No, it was
Sachi.
And
I thought Sachi. It was his sister. Yeah.
Oh, like she's in the real world, like he's calling up his name.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Wow, that would be cool.
I thought it was
that would have been cool too. But
could be either.
Like,
I didn't get a good look.
It looked like Sachi. I don't recall.
It
I don't
could be
know
either.
What his sister looks
Sachi.
Like, but it
his
looks like
sister
Sachi.
Sister has shorter hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
she bald Sachi
freaking
like short hair.
Well, but the hair
anyway,
was down past her shoulders. Anyways.
Guys, moving on. Anyway, so Asuna hugs him, and she's like, you're such an idiot. And he's kind of like, oh, careful, you know, because he only has, like, 2 HP
you
left.
You might right. hug the rest of my HP out of me.
Which would have been hilarious.
It would have been terrible if she had dove to hug him and it had not.
Exploded.
It would have made for a very different
very
series.
Kingdom Hearts.
The
but
end.
Extremely yeah. Kingdom Hearts.
It would have been. But
not
so,
that dual wielding isn't extremely
everybody's
Kingdom
questioning
Hearts.
Him, like, where did that come from? And he just says that it just appeared in his inventory one day in his skill sets. He's like, I have no idea where it came from, and I don't know what the prerequisites are, and I knew if I told anyone that everybody would be, you know, people would be jealous, because sometimes online gamers can be jerks.
Sometimes?
If you have something
sometimes?
That, well, you know, not players like Klein, but, you know, there are people out there who will be jerks about it, who yeah. will intentionally be jerks.
Well, I'm thinking the prerequisite to that skill
that's
is
just the
shonen
internet.
Protagonist.
Probably. but it explains why he was looking for a sword that was as powerful, if not more powerful, than Elucidator. So it explains why he would go into Liz's shop in the first place. So we know that he probably had this skill when he walked into her shop.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they all part ways, and it's the next day, and word has gotten out about this amazing skill. But sorry to go back a little bit. Asuna says that she's going to take a leave of absence from the guild, and because
why?
They're party members, and she, you know, this is Kirito as closest to death as we've ever seen him, and she can't bear the thought of him dying and her like standing back and doing nothing.
Obviously, he's going to get himself murdered if she isn't there. This is what she thinks, despite the fact that he has survived this long,
but also
watching him nearly die.
But it was also like, that's what was so funny, because he was even like, you're the one that ran in first.
Yeah.
Like, well, thanks.
I think it was her first time seeing him as like a vulnerable player,
mm-hmm.
you
yeah.
know? Because like up until now, yeah, he's gotten along by himself and they've fought together a little bit up, yeah. but like now
the first
he
real time
died.
He was all like badass, but like, I'm a
well,
beater.
And I think him being this close to death has made her realize how important he is
yeah.
to her,
mm-hmm.
how important he's become to her. So the next day, he's hanging out at Agiel's shop. Information brokers and all these different sword wielders have hounded him, you know, begging to find out how he became a dual wielder. And he's like, I need to find a new place to live.
He's going
to
move in with Asuna. That's my prediction. He's going to move in with Asuna.
Probably. It'd be a good place for a cover.
You're
anyway.
Pragmatic.
So, nice.
You said it
well
was
played.
Plastic.
But, that's when Lisbeth comes in and she's like, well, we were going to keep it a secret, but then you went and blabbed it to everybody.
Yeah.
She's
I was
really
saving people's lives.
I thought it was a cute moment that she was teasing him. But then Asuna comes back in and she's like, we have a problem. And, jump to floor 55, which is the Knights of the Blood Oath headquarters. And we have Heathcliff, who is the head. He's the only person above Asuna in this guild. If the Knights of the Blood Oath are the most powerful guild in the game, then he is essentially the most, I don't think he's the highest level player in the game, but politically speaking, he's the most powerful player in the game.
Right.
Which is very interesting, and he basically tells Kirito that, look, if you want to take our second in command, you're going to have to fight me for her. Which, yeah, it's a very interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert on the intricacies of guild politics, but I would think that if you just say, hey guys, I'm out, I'm dissolving this party, that would be it.
I'm gonna pitch in before Katie explodes, because I know exactly yeah. why she's like imploding. Okay, it's the whole fact of like, okay, well, it's her decision, it's her choice. She is a very strong player herself, so it's like,
She's the one saying, hey, peace out, I'm bouncing out. If you want to fight anybody for it, why don't you just fight her? But let's also take into consideration that he is the main character. So, of course, we have to have that scene of, you know, the traditional fighting for the woman, which is why basically Katie and I are rolling our eyes. But, and the thing
I
that
think
irritates
we're all
us.
Rolling our eyes a little.
I'm doing yes. a little more than that.
Yes.
Well, she's kicking me under the table.
I can't reach.
It's
you
too
see
far.
How wide
it's
this
too
table
far to
is.
Even fist bump. We can't kick that far.
We can try.
No, it's too far.
Okay, yeah.
Anyway, but the explanation, the discussion in general, too, it's like Asuna wasn't even acknowledged
yes.
in this discussion. And you could argue that, like, she had made her case before coming to Kirito, and that's why Heathcliff was addressing Kirito.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he didn't, he gave a non-apology for Kuradil,
mm-hmm.
for one. And
I'm
again.
I'm sorry for any issues you may have experienced with him. Not, I'm sorry for picking a terrible bodyguard. Not, I'm sorry it's a creep. Not, I'll make sure it doesn't happen again. It's, I'm sorry if you experienced any issues.
Right.
It's
yeah.
like, I'm sorry if you were offended. No.
Yeah. We also have to take into consideration, though, from what you guys don't know, the reason they have to fight is going to become a bigger issue several episodes down the line.
Okay, so it's,
right.
the second episode. It's not, it's less very, about Asuna and more
less,
about something that we have
I mean,
let.
Yes. It's
yeah.
a little bit, but I mean, it's definitely got to be part of like, okay, traditional, oh, I'm going to fight for my woman kind of thing that they have in a lot of stories.
But there's more going on than meets the eye.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm
they
just
still
could have
accomplished it with Asuna doing the fighting, though.
No,
but still.
Yes, it's true.
It's still maddening for that to be the excuse.
Well, again,
for her
just
to
with,
not have a say
with
in
the
her
comments
fate.
Our YouTube viewers have been leaving, and it's just it's very foreboding as a viewer, not in terms of like the story, but it's very foreboding in terms of what they do with Asuna's character, and I don't like that. And I don't think any of us like that. We still enjoy the show,
yes.
but we don't like where this is going.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
I'm
going to
watch some Sailor Moon Crystal, and I'm just going, girl,
yeah. Oh, yes. Speaking of. Of new shows that have aired online. Not only has Sailor Moon Crystal officially premiered, but Gun Gale Online premiered a couple nights ago.
At Anime Expo, you would not believe the number of Kirito and Asuna cosplayers that I saw. One Klein!
So, that's really exciting that that's airing right now. I really wish we were further in the series because I don't want to, you know, I want to be authentic as we go through this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm going to hold off on watching it. Are you guys going to be watching it?
I mean, I would imagine we'd have to watch more in order to, like, understand what the hell's going on. So I'm going to say it's, I'm probably going to have to wait a
but
little bit.
But Tari's seen all the way through.
Yes, so I'm going to be watching
all
the
right.
crap out of that.
Let us know how it is, but don't give anything away.
No, of course not.
All right. Thank you, guys. That basically wraps it up. We went way over time. Sorry about that. Katie, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Tumblr at Kiaxet. That's K-I-A-X-E-T. I'm also on the Attack on Titan panel and the upcoming Ruby panel.
Yay! Woo-hoo. That'll be fun.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Liz.
Hi, everyone. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Lizzie Maui. That's L-I-Z-Z-Y-M-A-W-Y. You can also find me later on tonight on the Musketeers panel. And you can also find me on Dominion on Thursdays with my buddy Tari here.
Yeah.
Tari.
You can find me on Twitter at Tari J. That's T-A-U-R-I-J-A-Y. You can also catch me on the Extant panel on Wednesdays and Dominion on Thursdays.
Yeah.
And I'm Megan. You can find me on Twitter at The Menguin. That's T-H-E-M-E-N-G-U-I-N. I am also on the Attack on Titan panel here on Sunday nights. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Sword Art Online panel. We will see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.